This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, April 7th. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Forest Service moves to Utah. China sources specialty crops elsewhere. State Ag Board tours UC Merced, and Trump warns of Iran destruction. U.S. Department of Agriculture is relocating the U.S. Forest Service headquarters to Salt Lake City, launching a sweeping reorganization aimed at shifting leadership closer to Western forests and to communities. According to the move last week, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said the change reflects a push to, quote, return common sense to the way our government works, adding that, quote, moving the Forest Service closer to the forests we manage is an essential action that will improve our core mission while saving taxpayer dollars and boosting employee recruitment. USDA said the restructuring will replace the agency's regional model with a state-based system, distributing authority to 15 state directors and establishing new operational service centers across the country. The goal to streamline decision-making and strengthen local partnerships. Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden called the relocation, quote, long overdue, saying it will better position the agency to protect the land and most precious resources. Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz said the overhaul is about building a, quote, nimble, efficient, effective agency, emphasizing that forest management happens on the ground where the forests and communities are found, not just behind a desk in the Capitol. In California, the agency will stand up a California-Hawaii state office in Placerville. It'll function as an operations hub while converting its Vallejo facility into a national training center. The reorganization will also consolidate functions and shutter regional offices in Anderson, Fresno, Chico, Fort Bragg, Mount Shasta, and Hat Creek as a part of a broader shift towards state-level management. USDA said wildfire response and frontline operations will continue uninterrupted during the transition. It's expected to unfold over the next year. California's export economy is showing modest growth but faces mounting global headwinds. That according to Beacon Economics' latest trade report. The analysis found the state exports rose 3.1% year over year in February, significantly trailing the 16.4% growth rate for overall U.S. exports and shrinking California's share of national trade. The report points to rising geopolitical and economic uncertainty, including ongoing conflict in the Middle East and escalating fuel and transportation costs as key risks for exporters. Tariff instability is also weighing on outlooks. Of particular concern for agriculture, the report warns China has begun sourcing goods elsewhere, especially for specialty crops. While export volumes have edged up, analysts caution that competitive pressures and global disruptions may limit future gains for the state's trade-dependent sectors. The State Board of Food and Agriculture will meet this morning at UC Merced to highlight agriculture research and innovations in the Central Valley. Board members will hear updates on the Agriculture Experiment Station, the USDA-funded Secure Water Future collaborative with researchers across the West, and Spray Days, a statewide pesticide notification system. Board President Don Cameron will visit the showcase research benefiting farmers and rural communities. The meeting will also spotlight the F3, that Farms, Food, and Future Initiative, federally funded effort to advance technology, workforce training, and sustainable agriculture in the region. Water leaders throughout the Klamath Basin are warning users of a challenging water year to come, that amid limited snowpack and spring conditions arriving earlier than normal. In a letter to farmers, leaders of the Klamath Water Users Association and six irrigation and drainage districts said an ongoing snow drought had led to snowpack in the Klamath watershed, setting it about just 4% of the average. They warned that irrigators will likely see less than full deliveries of Klamath Project water in the coming year and said they expected the Bureau of Reclamation to make, quote, a more specific announcement on that very soon. We know this is not welcome news, they write. We share your concern and we wish it was different. This will be yet another year when you, your family, and other farmers and ranchers will require to make tough decisions to ensure the survival rather than the prosperity of generational family operations. If Iranian and U.S. officials can't come to a deal today, the U.S. will widen the scope and intensity of its strikes on the country, that according to the Trump administration. Over the weekend, President Donald Trump said Iran has until today to open the Strait of Hormuz or the country would be, quote, living in hell. In comments to reporters yesterday, the president doubled down on the threat, noting that by midnight, Iran could face, quote, complete demolition. Every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 o'clock tomorrow night, where every power plant in Iran will be out of business, burning, exploding, never to be used again, Trump said. He also noted that both sides are still negotiating. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has suggested the U.S. is already ratcheting up its aggression ahead of the deadline. Per the president's direction, today will be the largest volume of strikes since day one of the operation, even more than today, Hegseth said. StoneX Arlen Suderman said any damage to Iranian energy infrastructure could have long-term ramifications for fertilizer prices. Israel launched new strikes on Iran's South Pars natural gas plant, which is a key supplier of global fertilizer producers. Any energy infrastructure damaged could take several years to repair after the war is over, Suderman said yesterday. India has also announced it intends to buy 2.5 million metric tons of urea, Suderman noted, adding to ongoing price pressures. Some are pulling back on fertilizer application over rising prices. Ben Steffen, a Nebraska corn farmer, told reporters yesterday that he has been scrutinizing field samples to work out where to pull back without hurting yields. We're using less fertilizer this year than last and last year less than the year before, he said. Here's today's final word. Is the convenience of controversial farming worth an additional source of toxic PFAS in our bodies? That's Sakarath Maskal, policy and advocacy lead at the Pesticide Action and Agroeconomy Network, backing a new bill to ban the forever chemicals in pesticides. Maskal argues PFAS pollution is, quote, stealing the possibility of women to conceive the nation's next generation, sabotaging the full potential of our children, burdening California's families with cancer diagnosis, and reducing our ability to fight life-changing infectious diseases. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, April 7th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Daly.